Welcome to the Joy Felipe Bruce podcast. Sister Joy Felipe is a daughter of Bishop Dyke Heward Mills and the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Cathedral of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. The Fountain of Life Cathedral is a thriving church of young, energetic people full of life for the Lord. Sister Joy is also an itinerant minister of Dyke Heward Mills Ministries. She travels extensively, holding pastors' conferences and bringing ministry-related books by Bishop Dyke Heward Mills to the nations. She is the evangelist of the Blessed Salvation Crusade. Now be blessed and refreshed as you listen to this inspired message by Sister Joy.
In a little while, Jesus is coming. Some of you have to text some people that mommy has come. In a little while, mommy is in. Please, if there's a seat in front of you, kindly move forward. If there's a seat in front of you, kindly move forward. I see seats with bags. I don't know. It's almost 12, so where are the people? Please, I'm speaking to the church. If there's a seat in front of you, don't let an usher come to you. Please move forward. Thank you very much. If there's a seat in front of you, kindly move forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, help you, Francisca. It's nice to see you. Amen. If you know someone who is not here, kindly text the person that our pastor is in the house. And today we are going to receive an anointed word, as we always do when she's around. So please take your phones, text someone. Because some of the, I'm not seeing some people. And I don't know where they are. So please text. This is the only time you can take your phone and go on WhatsApp. So please take your phone, text that person. People didn't see mommy's back. Now this is how we'll be working in the church. And on the day of Pentecost, they didn't say Pentecost was back. They just had to be in the meeting. Are we okay? Are we done with our text? Okay. Yeah, I mentioned last week that we had to project how to behave in church. Media, you will not remind me nothing. It's like, oh, don't do that. Mommy, as you were aware, we realized that some people don't know how to behave in church. So we remember that some time ago, there was a video you showed and we said, we want to enact that in Word Encounter. Please, those behind the thing there, when such things are said, you are the one supposed to make sure it's done. Okay, I beg you. You're looking like... So please, make sure it's done. Okay, thank you very much. Church, with a standing ovation. And with Jesus' joy, our pastor is in the house. And with a clap offering, help me welcome our pastor, our teacher, our shepherd, E.S.O.I.
Whether rain or shine, day or night, he's the way, he holds my life. Galilee, whether rain or shine, what a friend that Jesus, oh, of my life and gives me peace, perfect peace. No one can.
To us, Lord, may we never regret coming to church. And may our lives be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Take your seat. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. In fact, I thought of it a moment ago. Please find your Bible. I forgot. Please stand to your feet. Let's do that. Very quickly. This confession, we cannot leave it. Please stand to your feet. Nothing's going to happen to you if you do. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Take your seat. Hallelujah. Amen. L.P. Francisca, it's such a pleasure to welcome you back to church. God bless you. We're happy to have you back. Amen. Hey, tell me, ask your neighbor that, hey, so meet me if I'm not here when I come. Will anybody see that? It's a blessing. Hallelujah. We're happy to see you, to have you back. Amen. And I'm also happy to be back by the grace of God. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm happy to be back. And I didn't get to to be here 2 weeks before I left. So today, dear, I told them that no. Even though other people were supposed to be preaching, I said, No. I've missed my people. I'm coming. So I've missed my people today, dear. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let's do it. Let me give you a few announcements so that, then we jump into the word. Other Sunday is next week, Sunday. Amen. And I want you to make up your mind that you're going to bring somebody along with you. You see, one of the things about smaller services is that they become comfortable. I don't know if you understand what I mean. Yeah, a larger service, sometimes very large, but we can become so comfortable as we are that we feel that, I don't even need somebody else. Because when I look here, I see this my friend. I look there, I see this my brother. But the kingdom of God must continue to grow. Amen. So I want to encourage you, if you're in this service, please, next week, Sunday, dear. Tell your neighbor, next week, Sunday, dear. Next week, Sunday. Next week, Sunday. That's my brother who doesn't want to hear about Christ. That's my sister who does it. I'm bringing them to church. My classmate, my friend. Who again? Your neighbor. Are you there? Even your enemy. Maybe if you can get them into church, things will be a little easier. Hallelujah. So next week is Others Sunday. Amen. And it's just a name that we have given to the service. But the idea is that we're just going to find some people and bring them. Amen. Now, I also want you to put aside Good Friday, the 3rd of April. Amen. We all know, at least in this service, we know what happens on Good Friday. Amen. This year, I want you to desire a miracle from God. Oh, I'm not enjoying your oh yes. It's like, I don't need a miracle. I need a miracle. Yeah, I need a, we always need a miracle. Yes, we always need a miracle. What's a miracle? Something that is supernatural. Yeah, something that's supernatural. Natural things are nice, but we need supernatural things also. And I want you to come to that service with an expectation. Amen? Because we really see a lot of things happening and we are part. So we'll be here as usual. We'll get our large screen and we'll be doing our singing and our everything. And then we'll go over. Oh, every year we get a large screen here. Yes. And let me tell you a secret. We see more than those who are at the venue. It's like when you're watching a football match. You see all the, all the angles, the people who are there, it's true, they get the atmosphere, but you get the details. Yeah, so tell your neighbor, I'll be coming for the details, yeah. And you know, if we participate well enough, the atmosphere also carries over, and it enters into this place. So, Charlie, I don't know about you, but me, I'll be here. Yeah, amen. Yes, it's a blessing. God bless you so much. Then I would like you to put it down so that these are two announcements that are a bit far, but sometimes having early warnings helps us. 31st of July, we'll have our next Sounds of Joy. Amen. It's a Friday. Yeah, it's a Friday, so we'll have our next Sounds of Joy, most likely out here in our... Nowadays, we don't know what the rain is doing. Oh, you know. Yeah, it's something. Last year, we were just rescued. I mean, you know, so we probably will use the same venue. But what is going to be exciting and different is that I'm going to import a preacher from outside Ghana. Somebody from outside of Ghana will be coming to preach. Yeah, and I believe that it's going to be great. I believe it's going to. So tell your neighbor, Sounds of Joy goes international. Sounds of Joy. It goes international. Goes international. Hallelujah. So that is 31st of July. It's a Friday. Keep the date. And then, finally, I'd like you to put down the 8th to the 12th of August. There's the First Love Conference in Accra. And we want to be there. Amen. First Love Conference, 8th to 12th July. And August is the first time for us, and we want to be there. And last year, I remember watching some of the preachers, and I mean, it was really something, really something. Tell anybody, there are people that you don't know about. Hey, oh, you see your quiet voices. Hey, I said there are people. What happened to your voice when I went? Were they beating you? Yeah. Hey, shout to, I know your voice is for you. Just shout. Hallelujah. Okay, I know your voice is there. Amen. But we want to try as much as possible. So if you are working, I want you to put those dates, that those are your leave dates. Amen. Some of you, after all, some of you are going to take Give Thyself Holy, which is just, you know, 5th to 7th. So it's just in the same time period. If you are blessed, you can take both. If you have to choose one, choose the First Love Conference. Is that okay? Is it all right? Beautiful. But I have to say, I'm very happy to see all of you. Amen and amen. It was nice traveling out. The week before I left, the temperature was nice over there. 16, 17. The day I landed, 11. The following day, 7. The following day, 3. But it was very nice to get out there. And our church members who are there gathered when I came to preach. And it was, we had a very good time of fellowship. Bishop Francis Sapong extends his greetings. Amen. He has a very nice church. Very nice church. Amen. One of these days, we shall be going together. Ah, some of you can't receive such things. Ah, we'll go together. We'll go. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, today we're going to be, this is the last installment of the last session that we have with the message on others. And I really pray that it has changed something in us. And today, this last session, we're going to be talking about many are called, because it's the called people who are looking for others. Amen. Are you with me? Now let's go to a very special scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 9. And maybe you can give us verse 8 so that, you know, it links up, because it begins in the middle of a sentence. Let's see verse 8. Is it hard to go there? Okay. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Are you seeing what he's talking about? Yeah. So now we know who is. The God, the power, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, what I want us to see in this scripture is that there are two things that were happening. We know the first one. We know that we are saved. Amen. But what we don't often think about is this one says, we are saved and called. Say, neighbor, you're not just saved. Oh, Senor, there's no one in them. Yeah. Tell your neighbor that I'm called. I'm called. You see, some of you, when I said, say, I'm called, cry, you're just looking at me. I don't know if it's the brothel that you don't understand, or it's just that, you know, you just look at it, that I don't think I'm called. So today, this is my mission. I have to talk to you about that call. Amen? Are you in the church? When they say somebody is called, I don't know what comes to your mind. But for many of us, what comes to our mind is somebody with a microphone, you know, or somebody charging up and down with their fire coming from their mouth, and generally they wave their hands like this and something. And then you say, oh, that person is called. And so because of that, we don't see ourselves as called people. Now tell anybody that the fact that somebody in school is getting 10 over 10 doesn't mean that me who I am getting 7 over 10, I'm not in the school also. I'm also in the school. I'm also a student. Are you there? The fact that somebody is a medical student doesn't mean that me that I'm doing archaeology, I'm not a student. What's the meaning of? Are you there? The Bible says that God gives us according to what we are able. So we are different. Somebody's own is to millions. Someone too is to his area. But whatever it is, we are called. And that's something that we really, really need to recognize. And that's why today I want to define for you the word called. What does it mean? What does it mean? When they say that you are called, it means that you are being asked by God to do something. What thing? Anything. Amen. The way you are quiet, you know, I'm not even understanding. Nobody is on this earth without a purpose. And you see, when you remove the call from your life has no purpose. Yes, it has no purpose. That is why people who are in the part of the world where everything is there, they are even more depressed than people. You see, right now you think that your purpose is that I need to get a fridge. Then when you get the free day, say, my purpose is that I will have my own house. So, you know, so that striving, God keeps us striving to something. Yeah. Now, the day comes when house is there, car is there, fridge is there, wife is there, child is there. Now, what again? Please ask me, what again? One of the most painful things on this earth is to be somebody waiting to die. You are very quiet. Chester, you have done everything, got everything. I don't need anything again. Now, the things you struggle to get, let's take a moment and look at it. Where are they going? Hey, you are very quiet. Oh. You have got all this. Okay, look at the things you have right now. God forbid, you are not going to die now. But just for the purpose of our discussion, who is going to inherit your high heel shoes? what's happening with your dress? Is it going with you? Okay, what about your bike or your car? Is it going with you? So what, you see, there's a word, they call it the zilch of life. When you suddenly wake up and realize that, and so what? Hey, I'm talking to some people here. Okay, let's start. Where's your JSS certificate? Aquile said she didn't go for it. Chet said, after getting the BC was your everything, you were praying, I want to pass. Oh God, help me to pass. Where is the certificate? Okay, all right. You say BC, there's too basic, I'm sorry. What about your WASI certificate? Where is it? Where is it? Someone says it's in the cupboard somewhere. Look, there's a cockroach in the cupboard that has been eating it for breakfast. It's chewing it once more. Have you not noticed that? That thing that was so central to your life, right now, you don't even know where it is. Hey, you are very quiet. I say, you don't. If I ask you now, as you are here, direct somebody that you trust in the house to go for yourself, you see that you don't even know where it is. Akitat Parko, where is it? The job square that you had, has anybody demanded that come and give us your... Meanwhile, I remember when you were sweating to finish. It's like, child, I gotta finish. You see, now, I don't want you to think that I'm saying it's not worth it. That's not what I'm saying. These are all part of our experience in life. But what I'm saying is that it can't be the reason why you exist. Because after you have got it, you realize that really and truly, and so what? Hello? There's this feeling deep inside. There must be something more. Because the day you lie down, we will not add your certificate. We will not add your car. We will not add... It's nothing. That's when you see that your call, the call is the reason he sent you. He said, let me put you here and give you this thing to do. which is according to the abilities I have given to you. That is your purpose, and that one you take it with you. I said that one you take it with you. The Bible says that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. The day will come when we will arrive in heaven. Ask your neighbor, will you be coming naked or you have something? I wonder how it's going to be. I wonder how it's going to be. When you arrive in heaven, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? A cloud of witnesses, they are watching. They say, he has come. She has come. What will Jesus be doing? Jesus will say, you are ashamed of me when you are here. And he sees you have come there and said, oh, I saw this, a new arrival. Then Jesus is standing and saying, this one, I'll see you. Father, I'll see you later. And he says that if you are ashamed of him on earth, you too, when you arrive in heaven, he'll be ashamed of you before the Father, in front of the Father. So I'm saying all this just to say that that call, whatever it is, however it is, take it seriously. That's the core of your life. That's the center of your life. That is what will stop you from becoming depressed. Yes, because everything in life is disappointing. Oh, you are very quiet. I said everything is like the way I pray you people will travel. One of the first things you experience when you travel is disappointment. Hey, the only unless you go as a student, when you go as a student, it's a little softer. But you get out there, you think that when you get your first paycheck. 3,000 pounds. Rent. 1,004. You have no idea. 1,004. So if we remove 1,004 from 3,000, it leaves us what? 2,006. 1,006. Okay. Transportation for the month. Transport. Another 900. The people that don't believe me what I'm saying. Here in Ghana, you can produce, if I want to take an offering here and outside, I'll get more here. Yes. You understand what I'm saying? Because as they are giving you the thing, they have calculated it. So as it comes, Alex, what I'm saying, is it true or it's not true? They think I'm lying. They have calculated the thing. Hey, when you see your in-law or your uncle come to Ghana, he has gone without lunch for the past how many months just to have something to put down so that when he's coming home, he can come and spread you small. Hey! Disappointment. Disappointment. Oh. Enya kra. There's a certain reality to life that is disappointing. Yeah, you study for the exam, expecting that Charlie, this one day I've blown it. I didn't buy 55%. So, your neighbor, life is not easy. But that is why you should answer your call. Because that is where your joy will come from. That is what will carry you somewhere. Hallelujah. That's why we have spent time talking about others. Because, Charlie, this me, it brings a lot of issues. And today I'm sharing this with you in the context of others, that you have a call. Please take us to the next slide. The call of God. I'm going to talk about five things today. And I'm saying the first thing, many people in the Fountain of Life Cathedral, you are called. You are called. Yes. Please, what's the name of your neighbor? Put the name there. Eugene, you are called. Jared, you are called. Mary, you are called. Are you there? Hey. Evans, you are called. Hey. Ejakwan, where are you? You are called. Adelaide, where are you? You are called. You are called. Yes, you are called. Regina, you are called. Hey. Kesben, you are called. You are called. Hey. 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 Hallelujah. April, you are called. I don't care what you think. You are called. You are called. Yeah. Praise. Oh, you know. You are called. Hallelujah. Amen. A call to do what? A call for what? You are called to be fruitful. Amen. You are called to be fruitful. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, today we are going to discuss this calling because it's a very important thing. Yeah. Remember when I started, I said that when we say calling, our mind goes to something a bit dramatic. A bit dramatic. A bit. I mean, nobody doubted that Paul was called. The way it was, you know. But as you are sitting here, you have seen how your life has gone up to now. No light has met you on your way to KJTR. So, Charlie. You know, so I'm going to say three more things. The first thing is that some people, their call is spectacular. Yeah, spectacular. Now, some other people, it's an ordinary way that they are called. And some people, dear, it's just a desire. There's nothing, you see. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 22 and verse 14. So many of us here, many first lovers, we are first lovers, or many Fountain of Life Cathedral people, we are called. Let's look at it. For many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called. I want you to see that word, many. And today we are doing English lessons. To break it down so that we understand, because maybe the many, you know, you are able to just pass over it. What does many mean? Many means that most people are called. Many means that the majority of people are called. Are you there? Many means that large numbers of people are called. Many. It means that the masses are called. Yeah, we are fooling, oh, hey. Many. It means that what? The church members. Hey! Hey! You thought it was only the pastors. Now you are finding out that you are called. Yes. Yes. And so the last one. Many means that what? You. You. Point to your neighbor and say, you are called. Then now point to yourself and say, I am called. I thought you'd be putting your hands together for the Lord. I am called. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I'm going to show you a couple of scriptures, which I pray will help us, you see. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, we see something. The Bible says that these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Then he lists 5 types of people. These are actually the people we normally think are called. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. You see? And today I want us to understand, you see, because of the way people throw titles around, there's a general feeling that all these are the same. They are not the same. They are not the same. Who is an apostle? Who is an apostle? You see, in the picture, it's deliberately showing you keys. These people, I wish you were a little smarter and had given us some circle around the key. Why? Because an apostle opens many things. An apostle starts many churches. Are you there? One of the sad things is that nowadays we have apostles who started only one church. But they have degraded the title. An apostle is somebody who goes to a place, breaks ground, begins churches. Yeah. Tell a person, your neighbor is a type of person. Yeah, it's the type of person. And sitting right here as some apostles, they just don't know that they're apostles. Yeah. Called. They are called. And they are called to be apostles. They are called to go to places and break the ground there and start a work there. Are you seeing? They are different. They are different from ordinary people. You see, I've told you stories before of traveling with an apostle who was moving through the train. When the rest of us are minding our business, he was busy getting to know people. Yeah, that's how they are. And he was lamenting that his church that was working, we should hurry up and send a pastor there so that he can go. Yeah, that's how they are. I got to go to the next place that needs a church to be grounded. They are a type of person. Are you there? What about the prophets? Odi, I sent you a prophet when I was not here. And some of you came and enjoyed him, and some of you did your normal things. You had your usual excuses why you couldn't be here. But they are a gift. That's what you need to see. The apostles are a gift. The prophets are also a gift to us. When a prophet comes through the house, there was a particular reason why I chose that particular prophet to come at a particular time. And he accomplished exactly what I asked him to come and do. Yes, it was fine protocol that didn't allow him to tell you the exact gifts that some people got as he passed through. Ah, the church is very quiet. Yes. The first time he came through the church, I noticed after he left that the usual desperate calls I get before exams, I didn't get those calls. Yeah, the calls I get before exams are, I haven't finished paying my fees. And I'm afraid, because when you haven't paid, they tell you that they'll come and check. But as he passed through the church, Charlie, the Lord sorted out people. Sorted, so people could just go and pay their something. Yeah. Yeah. So I called him and I said to him that, even though I'm not going to be here, because you see, that's a bit of a sign of disrespect. If you don't do it well, sir, please, will you come? Because I'm actually not supposed to be here. I should have been away for the whole month. Are you seeing it? So I begged him that, please, if I say wait until I return, it's late. So please. And Charlie, hey, Dan, that's a prophet. Are you with me? That's a prophet. A prophet is somebody who tells us what God is saying right now. Are you in the house? Yeah. You think it's only to give you things, but if you, yeah, the gift, yeah. Prophets can frighten you. Yeah. But they are a gift to us. Are you seeing it? The evangelists. We know the evangelists. These are the people who win the souls in large numbers, many at a time. And you see, each of these giftings, they also have additional giftings with them. The evangelists often have the gift of healing with them. They can stand in one place and suddenly hundreds are being healed. You are there. Our father is landing in the island of Mauritius tomorrow. And we know that by Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Charlie, we'll be hearing of people who can't walk, who are walking, people who cannot see, who are seeing tumors that are falling away, people with cancers that are healed. We're going to be hearing things. An evangelist is on the way. It's moving. Hallelujah. Then the next one, we have the pastor. What does the pastor do? The pastor stays here and takes care of people like you and me. People are not correct at all. Oh, Charlie, sheep there. Hey, look, tell our neighbor, sheep, we are not correct. Sheep. You can enter into your sheep pen, and as you have entered, you are the owner of the sheep. Then the male sheep looks at you and says, come to challenge me today. Then he'll take a step, he'll go back. You are the owner, and then he'll chuck himself. Boing! Come and hit. That's sheep. Sometimes too, they are walking, they'll step on your feet. Oh! That's how sheep are. Tell anybody, it's how sheep are. Don't be offended. That's how we are. But for such people, God has given a pastor. A pastor is the real shepherd. That's why he's holding the staff and he just keeps guiding. Pass here, don't pass here. Me, go this way, there's food over here. Go this way, there's water here. No, don't cross the road at this time. Turn back. That's the pastor. Some of you, when we tell you that, don't marry the girl now, you say, hey, you marry her. A friend of mine, I advised him, or I told him that, don't do. He said, then he told me that that's the only person who has accepted him, so you marry. Charlie, the way they are cooking him in the house, it is not simple. It's not easy. Yeah. Because I'm a pastor and I was guiding him. Are you there? Another, a lower level of pastor is also a shepherd. Just guiding you. Amen. And then we also have the teachers, those who open the Bible and teach you, and you wonder whether your Bible and theirs is the same. Because Charlie, their revelation and insight. But so all these people, what are they supposed to do as they've come with their beneficious callings? What are they supposed to do? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. That's why they came, to teach us how to do the work. Tell neighbor, to teach me how to do the work. We have made a mistake, oh. Our mistake is that the pastors should do the work. If you're a pastor in the house, stand and let me see. You're a pastor, stand. Okay. These are the pastors. How many are they? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's all. 8 pastors. Is it many of you? Ah, it's few. Yeah. One of the greatest difficulties we have in this church is the ratio of pastors to people. Yeah. Because I have one pastor in charge of one. I have some, in fact, some of the others said, when I put all the services together, one pastor is in charge of about 300 or 400 people. What is the likelihood that he can even remember all of them? What's the likelihood that he can even visit all of them? What's the likelihood that he can even pray for all of them? Are you in the church? I sit in my church, on my office on Sundays. Hey, counseling, when I leave here, I'll talk sometimes at the end. I say, I've been talking since morning. Meanwhile, the problems, I've not done anything. Not changed anything. Is this many? No. Sit. If you are here, you are in the church, you are a person in the church, please stand. If you are a person, so if you are sitting, I know you are not a human being, but if you are a person in the church, please stand. Are we more than the pastors or we are less? No. So when they say many are called, what are we saying? Are we not part of the many? Yeah. I want you to push your neighbor and say, you are called. You may not think so. You are called. Those of you in the second row, attend to the people at the back. They are not able to tell themselves, yes, that they are called. Yeah, you are called. You are called. God bless you. Take your seat. Hey. I have to take you to my favorite verse, one of my favorite scriptures. When I die, you should put this scripture on this thing. John 15 and verse 16. You have not chosen me. But please, not NLT. This scripture, I need it in King James for myself to come. Hey, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. He has chosen who? Me dear, when I read this scripture, I'm very moved though, because to be chosen is something. Maybe you have been chosen all your life, so you don't know what it is not to be chosen. But those of us who are going to school, they never chose us for prefect. They never chose us. Even board, to clean the board, cry, they didn't call me. Oh. Even bell girl, cry, they didn't give me. Some of you, you are what? You are the SP and the what? ASP and the compound prefect. But those of us who were never chosen for anything, we know how painful it is. When they are even nominated, nobody will even remember that you were there to even nominate. Your name was never even up there. For people to vote and say they don't like. Yeah. So me, I'm very moved that Jesus chose me. Yeah. Are you in the house? Maybe you are somebody who does a lot of things well. But to me, that's not me. I wasn't spectacular in any way. I couldn't be chosen that. You have got this prize. They will do speech day. Speech day after speech day. I'll be sitting there seeing the people who challenge. The Chabre people, dear, you are just average, everything. Average, nothing. Hey! You see, you're very quiet, oh. Yeah. Sometimes I look at the married women, you have forgotten that you wanted to marry. You've forgotten that it was a subject of prayer. Don't let me go there today. It's not a women's meeting. It's not a women's meeting. You have forgotten. The prayers you used to pray, that Lord, let somebody choose me. You are praying that a man who makes mistakes, God will see you. Then God, who does not make mistakes, who has millions of people at his disposal, he has chosen you. Media, it moves me, I tell you. Are you there? Yeah. Look at yourself. You are not beautiful. Me, my friends, they were all more beautiful than me. All of them, their shape was better. They were all guitar shape, correct height. Oh, man, Charlie. It's like I just did not rank it in any way. Then the Lord, the one whose opinion really matters, the one who really matters, he is the one who decided that I'm choosing. You see, we make a mistake when we say, I gave my life to Christ. No, he chose you. Because millions hear the gospel, they can't even hear. So he allowed something to happen. That's how come when you heard, you were even convicted and you said, I'll give my life. We can have gatherings of 2,000 people. Only 30 people will come and give their lives to Christ. Yeah. They have heard, but they can't even do anything. Some of you in this church have preached that you have been here. You've not been able to do anything. Or you don't understand what I'm trying to say. So when I see that he has chosen me, I say, Lord, it is precious to me. It's really precious. And I want it to be precious to you. Yes. As you are there. You don't have anything. How do you know I don't have anything? I've been your pastor for a long time. Okay, maybe actually you don't have much. Look, if you can be wiped away by an increase in petrol price, you don't have much. If you can be wiped out because your landlord has increased your rent by times three, you don't have much. If you can be wiped out by one calamity that comes to pass, no, you don't have much. But I'm telling you that there's somebody who looked at you, and when he looked, said, this one is special to me, and I choose him, I choose her. That's why you are here this morning. Yeah. Yeah. That's why you are here. And he says that I chose you. And when I chose you, I just asked you to do one thing for me. Bear fruit. That's all. Bear fruit. Just be fruitful. You are a seed. I put you in the ground. When you put the seed in the ground, don't you expect something to be coming? Hey, meanwhile, you have been here years. Why is God calling you? He says, just be fruitful for me. You see. And we need to try. That's all. And that's why today I'm talking to you about the call. And I'm going to be talking to you about some people. I want you to put their names down. And I want you to go and read up about these people. You can find all their stories. I mean, their books around their internet. Go and look for it and read it and put some meaning in your life. Are you there? Some people were called in a spectacular way. Yes. They are the ones we all envy. Because when God calls you in a spectacular way, you have no doubt. But even with that, some people don't answer. Yes. Some of you, when I come and visit you and I sit with you, the stories that you tell me, I can see God has called you in a spectacular way. You are playing the fool with it. Yeah. The dreams you have had, the things that have happened to you. You see. One of the people who was called in a spectacular way was Paul. And we all know his story. He was traveling on the road to Damascus. He was actually going to kill Christians. And a light just came and shone on him. And the person who is working there should be at par with me. I don't want my things to come today. Otherwise, I'll return where I was sitting. He was on the road to Damascus. And while he was there, in fact, on his way, a light shone on the road. And he heard the Lord speaking. He had no doubt that he had been called. Are you there? And he said, who are you, Lord? He said, this is Jesus. That is me, Jesus, who you are persecuting. I mean, clear. That was Paul. And from him, we have so many things in the Bible. But there are also human beings in our time who also were called with spectacular calls. And today, I want to introduce you to a man called Lester Sumrall. Lester Sumrall was a guy who was born in 1913. In fact, his son is still alive, and his son has taken over the ministry in the Philippines. He comes to visit in Ghana. He has preached in the First Love Church more than once. Yeah. Very mighty man of God, this guy, Lester Sumrall. His accomplishments are a lot. He was an apostle at a point. He went to South America, just 3 years in South America. When he returned, 95 churches open. Yes, that means he has gone, he has preached, he has raised up people, and he has established a congregation, 95 of them in 3 years. You, one percenter, I say you should do. You are saying something. Yeah. No, I'm just saying for you to see that the man, but you see, this guy had a very spectacular call. And in fact, his whole ministry was spectacular. Are you in the house? One time he was sleeping and he heard things being moved in his house. Yeah. It's like you have come to disturb, and the devil had come to confront him personally. So he got up and came downstairs. That what is going on? When he came, they had moved his furniture. Left and right. And he saw the devil standing there. Do you know his response? You would have fallen down and started crying. He looked. It's you. Just put it back again before you leave. And he went back upstairs. That's the man. Lester Sumrall. Yeah. Didn't even give him time of day. The thing you have disorganized, no. Make sure. You put it back again. Then he left. This guy. Very wild guy. Lester Sumrall. But how did God call him? He was 17 years of age and he was lying there and he was dying. And he had a vision. And in the vision he saw two things. One was the Bible. The other was a coffin. Choose you this day. Are you going to preach for me and live? Or...
You're going to die. Hey, please, Lord.
So this was his call.
Tell neighbor, hey.
Yeah.
Lester Sambra. I mean, when you see, that's why I want you to write down the names, because I want you to go and look for the books. When you read the books, you will understand that people have enjoyed ministry. Me too, I want my share. Another one with the dramatic ministry, he is even closer to our time, and that is William Branham. Branham lived between the years of 1905 and 1975. Now I'm saying, yeah, not long ago, 1975. Now this guy, he was 7 years old. He was walking around, you know, when a whirlwind came through, you know, in a tree that he was standing under. And he heard a voice. Don't drink. Don't smoke. Don't defile yourself. When you are older, I will use you. And he went away and did what most of us are doing. Put it aside. And he lived his life until God reminded him and warned him. He had this dream. I think he had it, I think, four times. And eventually he gave his life to Christ. And Branham is one of those who also did very wild miracles on earth. Are you in the church? Yeah. He's one of those who did very wild things. He had a very difficult ministry, but he did a lot of things. Now, let's come even closer to home or to our years. And let's look at the life of Reinhard Bonnke. Reinhard Bonnke, if you are over 30 years old, you should know this man. Reinhard Bonnke was the name when you are talking about evangelists all over Africa, when you talk about him. But you know, Reinhard Bonnke was a guy in his family. In fact, his father was a preacher, and his father used to say that another brother of his was the one who would be the preacher. And he says, as for Reinhard, he's so empty-headed, he doesn't know what to... Yes, when Reinhard was even telling his father that, oh, he will preach one, he said, not you. Chesse, Reinhard will go to school, he's carrying the class, he's last. Oh, his brothers were making it, but he, dear. You see, I'm saying it because there are some of you listening to my voice here today. You are carrying your class. It's just a reality. That does not mean God has not called you, or you don't get the point I'm making. You are struggling in school. Please, can you tell me about the fact that there's a struggle doesn't mean I'm not called. Yeah. You see. But Reinhard Bonnke was somebody who God had called. From when, you see, he grew up as the black sheep. Every day he was in trouble. In fact, at a point he thought his mother didn't like him because he was always in trouble. She was always blasting him. She was always beating him. She didn't know what to do with the boy again. But he was the one who was going to church with the purpose that he wanted to know something deeper about God, you see. Now, he went on in life, and because he couldn't do anything else, he went to Bible school. And when he finished the Bible, because he wanted to serve God, at least if God would take him, he went, he had various encounters. Then eventually he went to South Africa and he grounded a ministry there. They gave him to the ministry in South Africa. Hey, it wasn't working. Then they sent him to Lesotho. They sent him to a place that they called the graveyard of pastors, that he should go and do ministry there. And it was while he was in Lesotho and he was struggling that he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw the map of Africa. And he saw the map of Africa covered in blood. And he thought that it was blood from a war. And then the Lord began to speak to him and tell him that the blood of Jesus is all over. The blood of Jesus is all over Africa. He should go and preach. And that was when he now broke out and he began to have crusades. And he could just go to a place. The Lord sent him to one town. He didn't know anybody there. He was wondering that, what am I coming to do here? And he went, all the pastors turned their backs, will not help you to have a crusade. So God had given him the name of the town. So he started the first night. He had just a small gathering of people. Meanwhile, he's gone and rented this 1,000-something seat. I said, Lord, what disgrace is this that you are bringing here? People were challenged, but the Holy Ghost was him. He said, you just preach. You just pray. And as he prayed, suddenly people began to fall down. And one of the pastors who had come there to cause trouble asked him, what do you do to them? He said, me, I didn't do anything. And all of a sudden, of those who fell down, a woman jumped up and she began to shout, I can see, I can see. And the miracles just began to take over like that. The next day, the place was half full. The following day, it was full. It began to spill over. They had to move. This was Reinhard Bonnke. Called, spectacular call. And truly, truly, truly. And you know, from that day, From that day, he was the founder of Christ for All Nations. He is the one, I mean, they had the crusades. My goodness gracious me. Our father calls Bonke his father as far as crusades go. He sent his men to go and learn. He himself, you know, related with a man. And this was a guy, a spectacular call. And he used to say, we'll take Africa for the Lord from Cape Town to Cairo, if you know your geography. Cape Town is at the bottom of Africa. Cairo is all the way at the top in Egypt. From Cape Town to Cairo, and he did it. He's the winner of millions of souls from Nigeria. Nigeria, his largest crusade at a point was 1.6 million people in one place. At that time, it was unheard of. Are you in the house? Tell neighbor spectacular call. In the course of his lifetime, it is said that 79 million people gave their lives to Christ. And that is something. You see, you are not clapping because you have not tried to win one soul for God. But when you have won one, you have won 10. You know that, Chale, 79 million, tell your neighbor, is not on the floor. And therefore, I want you to go and look for the book of his life. It is called A Life of Fire. And he's standing there with his hand like this. Oh, it's a marvelous book to read. You see, you don't read about anything. You are just there scrolling, reels. Into that wutinu shenim. There's nothing inside. I'm directing you to an exciting book of a life of fire. And you will see how God just used one man and blessed him. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. Are you enjoying the history lesson? Hey, tell your neighbor, I will also be the history lesson for some mother generation. When I pass, they'll be mentioning my name, that there was just this guy who was just a teacher doing this, but he did mighty things for the Lord. Now, not everybody is called in a spectacular way. So let's continue. There are people who are called in an ordinary way. Can we read 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 and 12? 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12. This is, you know, it's just showing you how God sometimes manifests himself. Look at it. Go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Next one. After the earthquake, there was a fire. The Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. Please give us the King James of that, of verse 12. Give us the King James. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. This still small voice, many of us hear it. But because it is a small voice, we just push it aside. Hello? Yeah. You are sitting in this church. You cannot tell me God has not spoken to you before. You can't tell me that. He has spoken to you. If you are in this church, you have heard it before. Preach. Share Jesus with somebody. You have heard him before. No drama. No whatever. It's not even an exciting something. Yeah. Are you there? An ordinary way. Let's look at a few ordinary people. The first one that we are going to meet, Billy Graham. You see, Billy Graham was somebody who was so great that you cannot believe that his call was ordinary. Please, can I come down? I don't know why I'm feeling today that I'm far from you. I don't know why. Normally I preach from here, but today I have to come down. Brother, I hope you are not on your phone. You are sitting on my stage on your phone. You are lucky that I don't boot you out of here. Billy Graham, how many of you have heard the name before? Beautiful. Yeah, some of your life is so some way that you have not heard of Billy Graham. Ish. Ask your neighbor, whose name have you heard? You only know Shatawale. You only know, what? Give me more names. Names of people, they don't do anything to help you in life. Those are the only names you know. What? Then, what? Al-Sharif, Black Sharif. Those are the names you know. You see, the names you know are the ones that help or hinder you. And these names that you are calling, I don't see how they're helping you. I can't see it. What? They are some crying. No wonder there's so much smoke around your head. You can't even breathe. I'm showing you some names of people. Go and look for these people on the internet and stop reading rubbish on the internet. You're only reading stories of how, who has divorced who has fought who has said, how does it help us? How does it help? Oh. You see, the story looks interesting, but at the end of the day, you are not helped. Yeah. Billy Graham was somebody who, do you know, this man, he affected the world. He affected the world. He is one of the modern evangelists who filled stadiums. But you know the most peculiar thing about Billy Graham? No hands, no signs and wonders. Just stand there, preach the gospel, salvation. Then they'll say, hey, the people are coming. So one time he went to preach in some town, and the people said, he's using the music to hypnotize people. So he came and said, please, today, they shouldn't play any music. No music. He preached, gave the altar call. Hey, in the silence, right there, they saw the people coming. The journalists who were facing him, they were afraid. They said, please, they should let the music come back. Because the silence was more, than there. When Billy Graham died, just a few years ago, it's not even 10 years, when he died, all the presidents past and before, they were in the service. Americans were so proud that day. You see, it's here in Africa that you get children to stand on the roadside and wave. This is proud people. They don't do that. But when Billy Graham died and they were conveying his body from where he died to his hometown, in every state, they lined up the streets to wave goodbye at the preacher who brought Christ to them. Billy Graham. But on the day that he was born again, he had gone to a service, and the preacher preached. It was winter. Nobody came to church. Just a few people, like it is when it rains over here. I didn't mention your name. The preacher preached and probably felt that it didn't go well. Because when he gave the altar call, only one person came. That was Billy Graham. Nothing special. He never saw anything. Never nothing, no nothing. He was just no fire. But he just knew he was called. And that's it. He has done his part. You are here. When people are falling in the church, you never fall. When they are praying for people, they never call you. How many of you have ever felt you are almost aggrieved with God? But why? Oh, I said, how many of you have even? Yeah. It's like, Lord, you even passed me by. The man of God came, he passed right by me, called the person over my head, called the one by my left, called the one by my right. I was standing here, Lord, you didn't mind me at all. I came to tell you, don't worry. Don't worry. Billy Graham, nothing, but something. Something. He was the link. He was the voice of God for years to many people who didn't care about God. Am I talking to somebody? Meanwhile, called in an ordinary way, there's nothing spectacular, just living your life. Let's move on. You're about to meet somebody who you should know. You see, this our father. When you look at him, you think that he should have had a dramatic call, or he should be able to point to something spectacular. But I came to tell you that the man called Dagwood Mills, he never saw anything. He was just a small boy, 15 years old. Somebody shared the gospel with him. He just decided that I like it. The person took him to an all night. And like some of you, he fell asleep. That's all he did in his first all night. I'm talking to somebody. As he grew, he heard that there's something called speaking in tongues. He said, I want some. And he went and called a man of God to come and pray in the fellowship that he was. Everybody spoke in tongues except him. He alone, he didn't get the tongue some. Came and said, God, what is that? What is that, Lord? What is that? The organizer. He said, I have organized the thing. I've gone to bring the man of God. You have given him. He said, when the guy prayed, it was a simple prayer. So he said to himself, this one there, nobody will pray. So when he opened his eyes, everybody was praying. Thanks. Karabu. He alone.
The organizer.
Nothing.
Wow.
I'm talking to somebody. Ordinary. He never, look, for many years, he'll stand there and say, Jesus has not appeared to me before. Not said anything. Yeah. But just, I'm doing what? He puts in front of me. That's all. That's why we are here. I said, that's why we are here. Yeah. Today, UD is in 190 countries. First love is in 104. From this guy who has not seen Christ. How you too, you have not seen Christ. You, as you are standing here, that you have seen Jesus. Oh, Uncle Wolai, that's his son. Ah, Jeff, have you seen Jesus before? Uh-huh, that's your father too. He has not seen him before. Yeah, just ordinary. Ordinary. Sometimes the sign of the call is just that you are my friend. That's all. That ruffians, two ruffians like you, your pastor knows you, knows your name, calls you, talks to you, sends you. Yeah. They are not the only two ruffians in the church, are they? Are you the only two ruffians? There are more. Yeah, there are some more. Yeah. You're just area guys moving around. Sometimes that's all. I'm talking to somebody. But from this ordinary man, by this time, I'm sure you should have had wisdom to move the slide. Who just like to pray. Yeah, just looking for God, sharing God. Today, even the books that we are working with, we have 70 million in print. He has passed all the fathers, even Kenneth Hagin, and he has passed all of them. And he's still alive and still writing. I thought by this time you'll be putting your hands to me. Yeah. He's on a mission to win 100 million souls. And it is working. Tomorrow he's landing in the island of Mauritius. He has asked you to help him with just some few CDs so that he'll be buying fuel. Even that one cry you are not able to do. Hey, what a people. Oh my God. Sit down. Oh yeah. I'm showing you an ordinary man called in an ordinary way. Are you in the house? Yeah. Wow. And you see how far God has brought him just by willingness. And somebody, you are watching it and you are also just an ordinary man. And if you were willing, God will just continue to work with you. Let's continue. Now, most people, the points that I gave you said some people are called in a spectacular way. Show us that slide, please. Look at something. Some people are called in a spectacular way. Some people are called in an ordinary way. Then it says most people are called through their desires. That's just how I want to do something. That's all I want to do. And let's go. We're going to meet some people. Are you enjoying the history class? I'd like to introduce you to a very interesting man called A.A. Allen. A.A. Allen was somebody who had a very turbulent and difficult beginning. His parents were alcoholics and they used to give their children alcohol when they were babies and watch the antics of the children as they were drunk. That's his beginning. Yeah, that's his beginning. But he had a desire. He didn't come from any proper place. His life, in fact, the first part of his life was very, very difficult. Both he and Branham, same very difficult, poor life. So if you are saying that, hey, but if I had a little money, I want you to know that people were poorer than you. God even used them. Yes. And A.A. Allen was like that. But this man, who he didn't have any call, okay, he has seen Jesus Christ. He was sitting at an Oral Roberts meeting. And as he sat down there, he was watching the man, praying for people, preaching, moving around. And he just said, I can do that. I can do that. Yeah, it looks good to me. That's all he said. Yeah, that's all. And he grew to be one of them. In fact, I believe to date, he's probably the only person we have to date who they have recorded in more meetings than one that there was 100% healing. Most of the time, for most people, when they go out to preach, some are healed, some are not. Is that not what we are used to? Some are healed, some are not. But A.A. Allen is the guy in whose meetings they recorded more than once, 100%, that everybody who came there who was not well. And please, not small sicknesses. Some lady, she had goiter. He just went. It was off. There were a number of very, very dramatic healings. There was a baby who was brought to him. The legs were twisted and turned up. The arms twisted. The child's head was some way. The tongue was hanging out. In fact, the baby looked like a caricature. The mother used to cover the whole thing because you can't look. And they brought the baby. And they gave the baby to him. And in fact, he writes and he says that when they gave the baby to him, he was so overcome with compassion. It's like, what human being is this? How can this even be a human being? So he had not even started praying. Then he heard crack, 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 crack. Legs were straightening, arms were straightening, tongue was back in the head. Hey! So he put the baby down. The baby started shouting, "Mama, mama," and the whole place just went crazy. Yeah. Oh, this man, hey, Alan. Very wild miracles. There's one of them that is even on YouTube till today. A man was brought, the guy, I think it was a cancer. He had not been able to eat. And he was basically just waiting to die. Couldn't even walk. And they carried him on a stretcher, you know. And this guy, he had some very wild faith. And because media, if you bring the person, they should just park him somewhere. But he said, oh, they should bring him and put him on the stage. Hey, in the open. Then he told the wife, he said, oh, the wife should go and look at the canteen and bring him milk and bread. Oh. They put the milk and bread on his pulpit. And then he went to the guy. He told the people, start to pray. And he was praying. He was just touching the guy, holding that. Then we just see the leg. He kicks the blanket off. Hey, the man who cannot move. Suddenly we see him push everything. We see him get up. Hey, are you there? Somebody was just waiting to die. He was no longer eating. Waiting to die. Then he said, made the man say, bring the milk. Bring the bread. And in front of the congregation, a man who has not eaten for over a year, the man ate the food. And he asked the guy, is it safe? He said, it's okay, it's okay. In fact, they should bring him more of the milk. He needs more. The guy was healed just like that, right on the stage. That's A. Allen. A man who never saw Jesus Christ. He was not called in a dream. He never had any something. He just looked. There was a desire. Some of you sat here as men of God are ministering, and there's a desire. Say, oh, if I got, I'll do some. You thought it was just, oh, me thinking of something. God was calling you. That's why that desire is there. That's why you had that feeling. Am I talking to somebody today? Have you seen that you have plenty of things to read? You are very quiet. Let us meet William Carey. My story is ending very soon. William Carey was also another ordinary guy. His father was a preacher. His father was a man who prayed for his whole life for revival. And he saw the revival. Are you there? But this guy didn't hear anything. Didn't hear anything. Just had a desire. And he would sit in the church. And when his father is praying, the man is praying. That's all. And he became the father of modern day missions. Oh, the slow person behind there, honestly. They sent him to go and learn how to make shoes. He was a shoemaker. Hey, these days in this world, are there shoemakers? Really? I've not seen them. Those people put nails in your shoes instead of... Anyway. So while he was making the shoes, the guy kept on reading his Bible and learning. In fact, at a point, the people he was working with, they didn't understand the guy. You know. But every break he has, he was on his Bible. Then he put a map and he was always praying. There was a map on the wall. And he would just pray. He would just pray. You see, sometimes you don't know that even that praying that you are praying is part of your call. And he kept on being drawn to India. Kept on being drawn to India. He eventually became the father of missions in India. He's the reason why several missions opened up until today. The belt of India where he worked, they're Christian up until today. In the midst of Hindu persecutions, they are there. You see. Meanwhile, it's not that he saw something. I'm almost finished. Take us to Andrew Murray. Also, this guy, he brought Christianity to the southern part of Africa. Andrew Murray. Also, just some guy be there. Tell him, just some guy be. Just some guy be. Meanwhile, this guy was the reason for Christianity in much of southern Africa. All non-dramatic, non-whatever people. Am I talking to somebody here? Yeah. It's very important for us to remember it because as you are there, there's a call on your life and you don't know. You are just fooling with it. Yeah, thinking that it's nothing. Oh, this is how I was thinking in the service, but now I'm okay. Are you in the church? I finished my history lesson. But this morning, I want to take you to the last guy. The last guy. This guy, Keith Green. Keith Green was a drug addict who found Jesus. And when he found Jesus, he fell in love with Jesus. He fell in love with somebody who had changed his life. His life had changed. He died at a very young age, but even today we sing his songs. It's only that you don't know that the songs were written by Keith Green. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. That's Keith Green. He couldn't sleep one night. He said, let me write a letter to God. This was his letter. Oh Lord, you are beautiful. Your face is all I see. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Yeah. We sing it till today. Yeah, we sing it up until today. There's a second verse. Oh Lord, please light that fire. The fire that used to burn in you when you were younger.
And once burn bright and clear.
Oh yes. Replace the lamp.
Replace
of my first love. That burns with holy fear.
That burns with holy fear.
This was Keith Green. This was Keith Green. We sing his songs.
I wanna take your word and shine it all around. But help me just to live and grow. And when I'm doing well, help me to never seek a crown. For my reward is in the glory.
Oh yeah. There's another one. There are more songs. The songs, there are more. More. What?
Make my life a prayer to you. I want to do what you want to. No empty words, no white lies. Talking prayers, no compromise. I want to shine the light you gave through your son.
Can you take us to the beginning? Let's read the words.
Comforts me to know you're really there.
Look at it. Make my life a prayer to you. They have been singing.
Make my life.
Some people, when you sing, they can't hear the words again. So read it.
I want
to do what you want me to do. Young man. Oh, no empty words. No white lies. No talking prayers, no compromise. Oh my goodness. I want to shine the light you gave
through your son.
You sent to save us a young man from
ourselves and our despair.
It comforts
me to know you're really there. Oh, I want to thank you now for being patient with me. Oh, it's so hard to see. And when my eyes are on me, guess I'll have to trust and just believe what you say. Oh, you're coming again. Come, take me away.
I want to ask you, so when you are there, you can't sleep, what have you been thinking about? Thinking about girls' bottoms. Thinking about how to get money. Thinking about your TikTok life. Thinking about useless things. Are you there? Those things will not follow us anywhere. There's a young man just expressing his heart to God. Yeah. Expressing his heart to God, you see. No spectacular call. But he was so passionate and in love for God that even though he died so early, some people will say, why did he die early? I want to ask you, are you God? Are you God? I've told you that the story of a friend who we wish had died when God tried to take him about 6 years ago. Because today, he's no longer a believer. Today, he's a fetish follower. Yeah, we should not have prayed. We should have allowed God to take him at that time when he was still saved. So you don't know. Tell everybody, you don't know everything. We are so too known. Don't know everything. So we don't know why God took him at the age of 28.
took him away. But before that, the guy did his work. Yeah, did his work. He left us with... Oh, the songs are a lot, oh, Jojo. There are some we know more than this one.
There is a
that one.
Redeemer.
He's the writer of this one. Ah, you don't know this song too.
Jesus,
where have you been? Where have you been? Eh?
On oh.
Precious.
Precious Lamb of God, Messiah.
My Father,
thank you, oh my Father,
for giving us your Son,
for giving us your Son,
and leaving your Spirit,
leaving your Spirit to your work on earth.
Oh my goodness.
Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners.
I had the songs, so not all of them were slow songs. You love the world and you are avoiding me. Do you remember that one?
On your TV, you love the world and you're.
Can you give them the start? They should have the words. The message of this one is that you love the world and you are avoiding me. You love the light of your TV. You love the world and you are avoiding me. Hey, Charlie. The guy, he was anointed. But no spectacular call. And maybe as you are listening to me today, you are our next kid. You're the one God has touched. Just a mild desire in your heart. If you will follow it, it will grow. God alone knows what he will do with you. God alone knows where he will take you. I believe that there are called people in this service, I tell you. I know that some of us, it is the rebellion that you are living in towards God that has brought the difficulties in your life. But if you just flow, just surrender, you see that the difficulties will clear. You see that they will clear. People are depending on us. They are waiting for us. Right, they're waiting for you. We can't get to heaven and say that we were too busy. We were working. Our children. Is that the excuse you are going to give God? Hey! It cannot be an excuse. Come and say that. You go and say that, oh, but God, I was nobody. I showed you nobodies. Who became somebodies because of him? Yeah. Hey, he's calling us. Next week, you have an opportunity to change the life of somebody. Even if it is one person. To change the life. What is the use of your life? It's a question I have to ask you. What is the use? I'm asking, so I'm asking you a question. Are you in the house? If you find yourself at death's door tomorrow, what are you going with? I'm talking about it. You see, it is a fool who does not want to think about it. When you're a Christian, you should never fear it. It's part of life. All of us will go one day. If it's not today, it's tomorrow, it's not tomorrow, it's next year, it's not year, it's next 10 years, 5 years, whatever it is, then you come. But when it comes, the point is, when you go, what are you going with? Some of you, your friends, they are reprobates over there. You have not brought them to church even once.
the bed you sleep on with your sister, your brother, your sister is on the way to hell. God will ask you. He will ask you. He brought you here to hear so that you will tell them, we are going to church. You know how to force them and collect their meat. But you don't know how to force them to church. Ask them, I'm okay. What are you saying? I'm looking at somebody. Hello? Yeah. Hey, some of you adults, you have children in the house, younger people, you can get them to church. Me, the only people in my house who don't go to church are the dogs. They're the only things in the house. Yeah, that's all. Enukra. Are you in the house? You cannot be a parent. You are sitting here. Your child is in the house. Something's wrong with you. I don't know who you are. So me, I've just said it. Maka. You born the child. The child cannot tell you what is right. No way. Who born who? Ask her. Who born who? Ha. But I can't force him to go to church. Who told you? Who told you? A day will come when they are grown. That one you can't force. Till then, we are going to church. I'm talking to somebody. Some of you are here because a parent didn't allow you to sit at home. That's why you became serious with God. Yeah. I want you to know above all that you are called. And I want you to know above all, Jesus is banking on you. Yeah, he's banking on you. Amen. I said he's banking on who? He's banking on me. He's banking on me. Choose me. I'm well able. Yeah. Larry, I'm looking for your people in church next week, Sunday. Yeah. I'm looking for them tomorrow. I'm looking for them Sunday. I'm looking for them, Liz. I'm looking for them. Okay. Yeah, that's another one.
I want to. Yeah. Hey, I need to.
Who are you bringing with you next Sunday? Like I need to Jesus. See somebody. I need to see somebody right here.
Yeah. I want to.
It's the only thing you're looking nice in the choir.
Be somebody. More like him. There's no greater love than to lay down his life for a friend. As each day passes by, I feel my love run dry. I get so weary, worn, and tossed, drowned in the storm. I'm tired of planting seeds, and I'm blind to others' needs. I seem to have a word. So many thoughts about myself. I want to, I need to be more like Jesus. I want to, I need to be more like Him. I want to, I need to be more like Jesus. I want to, I need to be more like
this afternoon, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed. You are here, you need to give your life to Jesus. There is no future without a Jesus in it. There is no future. You are here this afternoon and you are saying that I'm not so sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Do not leave this place without making sure. Without praying a certain prayer that you must pray. And so as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you are here, you are just not sure of your future. You are not sure if you are going to be with Jesus. Lift your hand to your right hand and let us pray. So that we'll resolve this issue right now. Lift it and let us pray. He has made a way of salvation. The Lord himself has brought you here. And you want to give your life to Jesus. Lift up your right hand and let's pray. If your hand is lifted, I want you to come to me. Just come to me. Just come. Step out of where you are. Just come to me. Just step out. Step out. God bless you. Just stand. Cut up. Just move this up for me. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Just come to me. Stand and let me pray with you. Oh, yes. You may say I'm a young man. I don't know what I have, but today I'm telling you that Jesus has called
to me.
Are they here seriously or they are here to laugh? Please go and sort them out. They're holding your people.
Talk to them. Are they really coming to give their lives to Christ? It's not by force at all. Just talk to them. Do they understand?
Oh, yes.
You have 5 minutes. Quickly, talk to them. I'm waiting for you. Your heart is beating in your chest. The Lord is calling you. He's calling you. He's calling you. Today is the beginning of a change in your life. Oh, yes. You say that I am called to go to heaven. I want my name to be in the life, that the Lamb's Book of Life.
I wanna take your word and shine it all around.
You wanna pray? Good. As you're standing, as every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You want to pray, you want to say, Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. Do what you want with me, Lord. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you that I've heard you today. Lord, I give you my life. May I live it as you want. May you be my Savior. May you be my Lord. May I never regret that I gave my life to you today. May I fulfill my calling, Lord. May many be blessed because of me. In Jesus' name. Father, I lift up these young people standing before you. Father, as they stand, they have come to you with nothing in their hands. They've just come to place their lives in yours. Lord, touch their lives. Lord, use their lives. Because of them, let them be Christians from another place. Because of them, may somebody find Jesus. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen.
We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more information, you can follow us on Facebook, Fountain of Life Cathedral, and on Instagram and Twitter at FOLCIDRC. God richly bless you.